Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go a 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Alhamdulillah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Seek refuge in Allah God from the evils of shaitan the devil and the rejecter. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And wa alaikum salam and salam, peace to you all. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast. Here we are today, August the 14th. Yeah, doing it again. Point of Impact, here to discuss the direct issues, the real issues, and come up with direct talk and direct solutions, inshallah, be it the will of God. Hello, everyone. My name is Malai, Eric Hansford, Minhaj, a.k.a. Y'all know me, the all-around fella, you know, the host here tonight. And, of course, my co-host, Miss Krista, you with me?
Yes. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. Trying to make it happen today, you know, as we are in transit, you know. You got to be multitasked. Got to multitask sometimes. Life is not always the way you want it. It's up and down. Places at one time. So you got to be able to multitask. You know, you know well than me, huh?
Yeah, listen, I always say I'm like mayonnaise. I got spread so thin.
But, you know, we got a wonderful show. Hopefully we'll be able to really tap into some real concerns today. But Katie going to join us today?
I'm not sure if Katie able to join. You know, sometimes they it's hard to get through due to the circumstances of being incarcerated and all the foes that comes with it. So, but we do have Brother Hassan once again, my the co-co. And I did want to just shed more light. I didn't want to just skim over, you know, victims' impact. So I just wanted to kind of, that was a conversation that is much needed and not to just be, you know, you can't dissect it all in one setting. So I just wanted to continue the conversation and, you know, really spend time where time is needed when it comes to the victim impact.
Right. Thank you for bringing that awareness. Because a lot of times the hour is not enough to always touch on the needle head of the issue. But alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to do and all praise and thanks to Allah. So, you know, and understanding that, you know, we are grateful for all the opportunities that we can shine more light on specific issues like victim impact. And, you know, one of the things that when I think of victim impact, of course, I think of, you know, the necessary need of criminal reform, because a lot of the things going on that we see, you know, we think things are transparent. And it's really not transparent when it comes to the criminal justice system. And, you know, and how things trickle down to the victims is, and how the victims and the victims take consideration of that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, even in issues like the death penalty, where you've seen, like, some victims, you know, and their families have, you know, ask for mercy for the individual who may have committed the crime. And a lot of times, they didn't even take it into consideration. The government feel as though, you know, they have more rights to this individual's punishment than the people whom he violated. You understand what I'm saying? And that don't even make sense. You know, like I said, you know, and then on the other side of the fence, of course, we see how the insensitivity that is given towards victims, you know, a lot of times with issues of trauma and things like that. I think there needs to be a lot more counseling for crime that has affected people in certain ways and traumatized them, you know.
Yeah.
So we do have Katie on the line.
Oh, he did.
Hey, how everybody doing today?
Peace, Kay. How you doing, brother?
Hey,
wonderful, man. Wonderful. Who is this, Brother Malai?
Yes, sir. You know it. You know it. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Who else on the line?
You got Hassan on the line.
Is that Hassan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Okay. Hey, how you doing, bro?
Hey, peace, family. I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Oh, okay. I'm doing wonderful, man. I was just listening in, man, hearing that what Brother Malai was just speaking about, and I can, you know, I can kind of understand. I can understand exactly what he's talking about wholeheartedly, man. And especially when it comes to dealing with the mental health aspect of it, and how, you know, that assistance is never there when you know, when you're dealing with situations like that on either end, you know, when it comes to the victim or the person that's incarcerated, there's never any type of assistance when you're dealing with things like that. You know, we've had just alone in here, you know, just to highlight a few things, you know, they speak about on the news how Lawrenceville have overdoses and, you know, people die from overdoses and things like that. And we already know what their objective is. They angling to pretty much take control of a private institution. So that's why they always being reported on the news. And unlike any other institution, you know, other institutions have the same thing that occurs on their compounds. But none of that is never reported on the news. But what I want to speak on, though, dealing with that is how There's never any type of counselors or anything comes around. When you have someone that overdose, that affects the entire pod, that affects the entire institution. But there's no psychiatrists or counselors or anything like that that comes around and speak with the guys and just witness that, you know. I've had to, I never asked for this, but I had to save guys that overdose, you know. Guys in OD and no one knew what to do. So, you know, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I did the best I could and then had to, you know, go get the officer. But you know how that can be looked at as well if you go get the officer. So, you know, like, why you get the police? I got the police because there's no doctors in here. None of us are doctors. That's why I went and got the police, you know.
This is the same guy that you
break bread with and tell him you love him before the night is over with, but you don't want to go get him some help when his life is on the line, you know. But, yeah, there's never any type of assistance or you know, counseling when it comes to situations like that. There's no one come around to talk to you to make sure that you're coping and you're handling these situations in the proper way or anything like that, because it leaves a dark cloud on the pod, you know. It leaves a dark cloud on the pod, especially when someone has lost their life due to the overdose, you know. You know, that's the coping dealing with being incarcerated alone, man, it needs to be fine-tuned, you know.
Right.
It needs to be fine-tuned. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say this part before, you know, I let y'all interject, but a young brother just recently lost his son. His son hung himself, 13 years old, you know. They give him a free phone call over there in the Washington office, and that was pretty much it, you know. It's on us to be that consoling, that person that's consoling them, you know. If it's not on us, then it won't happen, you know. We have to be there, and I never asked for that. I never asked to be that person to go around and make sure brothers is all right and okay and able to, you know, manage and cope with those type of things. But I guess through experience of doing it and having my own experience of suffering a loss, now here it is, I'm that person now, along with, you know, a few other brothers, but I'm that person now, you know. Yeah, that comes with being incarcerated. So it's on both sides, you know, having to deal with those situations. You know, you have create a victim, yeah, but then you end up becoming the victim as well. But we don't supposed to talk about those type of things, though, because we created a victim, you know.
Well, as we was discussing last week, you know, one of the things is that a lot of times, you know, the predators themselves were once victims. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A deal of what you see predicated from the behavior of men and women in the streets of our inner cities. And I hate to call Virginia neighborhoods hood, because I'm just being honest, from my perspective, there's nothing really hood about a majority of the neighborhoods in Virginia. You know what I'm saying? Where you see a great deal of the gangs and criminal behavior. And the only thing hood about it is the mentality of the people. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, you know, there are a great deal of victims, man, and you know, I say this with great emphasis. You know, when I'm as a father, as a son, as a husband, and as a dear, you know, friend and companion to people in my neighborhood, I want protection for the people I love. I want there to be security for them. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to see them, you know, go through any criminal experiences that may either take their life or, you know what I'm saying, cause them to be traumatically affected, you know, to where they have post-traumatic stress from it, you know. But the reality is that in our society, there is criminal behavior that will take place, that has taken place, and we need to do more to address these individuals who have been affected by, unwillingly, by the behavior or the reckless behavior of people who choose to do crime. And Mm-hmm. You know, it's necessary to have this type of counseling because a lot of times, like, you see it predicated with child molestation. You know what I'm saying? A lot of youth or people that have been molested, you will see them perpetuate that behavior later on down the line. See?
Yeah.
And it's sad because they're not given the proper attention, you know, medicine.
That's that abuse. That's that abuse become the abuser thing there. That's what that is. The abuse become the abuser.
Right, right. This is what goes on. So, you know, it's a little sad to me. You know,
but how do we, what is the solution to break that cycle? You know, that's just one aspect of it, you know. So what is the solution just to break that cycle right there? You know, someone that, you know, supposed to have been protected by their parents or whatever, and they may have had the perfect parents, but it don't take nothing but one incident, you know, letting the fox into the hen house, and next thing you know, the child has been, you know, their innocence has been taken away from them, you know, and you know, the parent may not never know this. They may sense something's wrong, but they may not never know that this tragic event has happened to their child, you know?
That's right.
So now that child grows up, and now that child has been dealing with this all their life.
That's right.
You know, now they become that person that created it in them, that planted that in them, because
right.
It never was addressed, you know?
Well, that's the sad
so that's
thing.
One of those are things that we deal with in our society, you know? We deal with things like that. That's just a small portion of it, though, of what creates what creates what you see today.
Right. That's absolutely true. But, you know, it's something like that has to be maybe pushed, I believe, through legislation. Because African
Americans... Say that one more time.
I said it's something I believe needs to be pushed through legislation. African people have never known... you know, psychological assistance and help. You know, we've never known it in our community. And when you take a nation of people through 400 years of slavery, and then along with that, maybe another 200 or 300 years of segregation, continual abuse, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and then physically, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of damage that is been done and hasn't been addressed. It needs to be addressed, and this is one of the things that, you know, with the victim of criminal behavior, you know, I'm always concerned about, you know what I'm saying? You know, when a person once asked me, you know, how did I feel, you know, about, you know, what I did to the individual, and I was like, you know, I was first and foremost, you know, I'm very remorseful, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that. You know, when you talk to these people, they don't understand that a lot of the brothers and sisters in prison, man, they do crimes out of desperation, and they're spontaneous. They're not, most crimes are not planned out. They're not strategically planned.
Exactly.
A person that, you know, just go sit at home, and then majority of the time they don't sit down and plot out the crime. It just happens due to opportunity, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Circumstance, you know? And so a lot of the individuals, like myself, who was dealing with addiction and mental health issues, you know what I'm saying? And these type of things, you know, we just try to ignore, and it's sad. But we do need to do a lot more to try to bring assistance to the victims of crime and their families and how they've been impacted by it. How you feel about that, Hassan? Hello?
Hello?
How you feel, Hassan, you there?
Well.
Hello?
That's not.
Yeah, I was looking for a comment from you on that. Did you hear what I was just speaking?
No, I don't think Hassan is. Well, you know, to touch on that, though, you know, like we just both said, I'm in total agreement with you on that, and, you know, something has to be done. We have to see, when it comes down to solution, especially when you're looking for legislation to be passed, we have to be very careful with that, because when we go to asking for legislation, we got to also be mindful of that. Be mindful of what comes with that. You know, we've been conditioned, you know, so we've been conditioned to accept oppression, you know, so many of us are to accept oppression, but we think that we haven't, but we have. We've been conditioned to accept oppression. So when you come talking about legislation, you know, we have to be very careful when it comes to asking for legislation to help us, because at the end of the day, there's a flip side to that. It always gets, you know, twisted and turned, and next thing you know, it becomes a novel form of slavery, you know. The mental health issue, it's a fear for us. It's a thing that we see that as a problem, so now we're asking for help with it. Okay, then help us with these issues, because these are our young kids that's going through this, you know. You have to have a mental health issue when you go pick up a gun and it got 100 rounds in it and you out there just swinging it and shooting anybody. There has to be a mental health issue there, you know.
Exactly.
So when we go to ask for help when it comes to these issues like that, we have to be very careful, because we got to be careful what we asking for and who we asking it from, who we trying to get help from, you know, because they've been conditioned as well to continue to oppress us or find ways to oppress us, you know. So, you know, when you spoke about that remorse thing, you know, I can attest to that. I understand that wholeheartedly, you know. Sometimes it takes you to go through something yourself to really understand what you've done to somebody else, how that affects somebody else, you know. And when you start talking about the taking of a life, you know, murder is the only charge that you can really look at and say it can transcend time. It's going to continue to affect somebody, you know. Just recently, you know, I lost my son in 2013. So just recently, his son, which is 8 years old, he's 8 years old now, he asked me questions about his father. I left his father at the age of when he was 4 years old, you know. So it's still that my son being murdered is still having an effect on the next generation. It's going to continue to have an effect on, you know, have an effect on someone. So that's that one charge that can gonna continue to affect people, you know. If I get robbed for my money, all right, okay, I may not be able to pay my rent, you know, but I may bounce back and things could be all right for me. But when that person is lost, he's gone, people are gonna continue to be affected by that, you know.
I can personally speak to that robbery thing. When I was a youth, I'm going to share a quick story with you. When I was a youth, I was about 13, and my mother had been, she had had a surgery where I was home alone for like a week. And when she came out from the surgery, she was staying with my grandmother. So I had to walk over to my grandmother's house through the city. And at the time, I had a brace on my leg, on my right leg. I had a brace on my right leg. I had to feed my phone. So, okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I had a little, my phone was ringing. But I had a brace on my leg. So these four gentlemen just appear out of nowhere. I had my little beatbox, walking, got flowers for my mother. Yo, I had never experienced being being jumped and robbed and things of that nature. I've never experienced that. And here I was being attacked by these dudes, you know what I'm saying, trying to take my property. And I fought for my life. At that time, that's how I felt. I was fighting for my life. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I didn't know what it was to be robbed. You know what I'm saying? So just from that experience, bro, if you only know how many years I carried the anger and the frustration inside of me, you know, even when we found the guy, the anger and the frustration, the fear, being attentive that to never let something like that happen again, was it took years for me to overcome that.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a victimless crime, you know. No matter what crime you commit, there's a victim, always a victim. I don't care what crime it is, it's always a victim in the crime. You know, when you start speaking about, the remorse, you know, getting back to that, the remorse, when showing remorse, especially when it comes to dealing with the parole board and so forth, you know, that has to be something that's genuine. You can't just go in there and say, you know what, I'm a fake remorse because I can get over on these people and things. Like, no, it has to be genuine. That remorse thing.
You have 1 minute remaining.
You know, before the phone hang up, I just went up for parole. You know, this is my third time, and I feel good about it. You know, I feel good about it, and I feel like it was my best interview. He gave me good responses back. And I'm just, you know, right now in the process of just, you know, getting things ready for the next chapter in my life. And, I appreciate, man, being able to get on here, man, and talk with y'all, man. It's always a blessing, man. And, like I said, thank you, man, for this opportunity, y'all.
Thanks
to everybody that, you know, supported me and wrote letters to the parole board on my behalf as well.
Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks, Lord, to Allah. Yo,
Chris,
we want you here. This your home. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be here for you. You know what I'm saying? You already know what it is. You know?
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing out. And no one understand that Allah doesn't, you know, leave anyone who is
thank
just.
You for using GTL.
Oh, wow.
He gonna call. I'm sure he's going to call right back.
Yeah. I heard that thought. Yeah. I love having KD. I love having all of them up there because a lot of the, you know, the way that they expound upon things and the attention that they give to the issues, like people don't understand the passion that one has to have to be in prison and promote the things that we're promoting. You understand? Like every day you wake up. Every day you move, every night that you lay to rest, there are forces around you in the penitentiary that are always moving forward. You know
and not
I mean?
Only that, it also breaks down the barriers that, you know, and stereotypes that y'all are in there still up to no good and, you know, haven't, you know, really done anything to rehabilitate yourselves or those who don't even know, who wonder, what are y'all doing? Some people just don't have a clue as to what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Or the nerve of someone who's incarcerated.
There are so many brothers there. There's so many people in there that are striving, and you don't realize the obstacles that they go through. Like, you know, it's not just a paved road for a brother in there calling them what's good. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's not a simple process like people think. You know, people think like when you go in there and you know, like you, because you was calling the good, you had people, of course they're going to respect you, but you got them same forces that are respected on a whole nother level that can move things just like you moving things in a positive way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the forces are not, it's not like you don't got forces of negativity that's in there that's strong. And their influences.
Yeah.
Their influences.
Yeah.
You know
I agree. Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of passion to get in that penitentiary, yo. I'm telling you, in that barbed wire seat.
Right.
And
right.
Call people to something good that they're being told over and over again doesn't exist in there.
Right, right.
You know, that's why I love it when the founders of Freedom Over Everything are present with us. You know, I love it, Hassan, that when you're present with us, because, you know, we know the true struggle. We
sure.
know the true struggle. We've lived, brother. Listen, we did 25, 30 years, 40 years of our lives of our lives.
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
I think that you spoke volumes when you talked about how hard in such a negative environment. Prison, we must, you know, people have, like, you know,
your phone is breaking up really bad. You got to get to a place where you can be heard clearly.
Yeah, we can't. We have a little difficulty on your end, brother. Brother Hassan, we can't really understand what you're saying, brother. See if you can get a better, you know, better place to where you can get better reception. But, you know, until Brother Hassan can return to elaborate more on that, I just wanted people to understand, like, you know, these brothers, myself, I've experienced what these brothers are going through. And it's just amazing. And it's amazing because, you know, Allah presents us all the time the evidence of walking upon truth and holding firm the truth. But a lot of times we don't see it until that point of impact. So things, you know, all come together, we got to make it happen.
Can you all hear me now?
Yeah.
You hear me better? A little bit better?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I tell you, just expounding upon that point that you made, brother, about how difficult it is to maintain positive action, positive influence when it comes down to being incarcerated. You know, a lot of people think.
You're breaking up again.
It's breaking up again?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, I think. Hold on. I'm trying to find a good place for some good reception. Let me see. Hold on. Nah, it's telling me my whole connection of stuff. Hold on.
Yeah, sometimes these phones, you just got to get sometimes in a good spot, you know, get a good reception, inshallah.
Yeah, let me try this. Matter of fact, let me try stepping outside.
But that issue of victim impact is something that really needs a little more, great deal of attention, you know, what the people go through, what they witness and experience.
Yeah. How about next?
You know?
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Does that sound a lot better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Okay, well, just kind of picking up where I left off. So a lot of people feel like that when they see people incarcerated, and the guy's incarcerated, and it's true that guys, it's a lot of responsibilities that we don't have, right? We don't have to pay rent, right? We're getting 3 meals a day. You know, we don't have utility bills, electric bills, and stuff. I don't have those types of responsibilities, I think. But what's more important than any of that is the responsibility toward striving to uplift and better yourself while you're incarcerated in such a debilitating environment. Prison was not built for one. And they try to call it a learning and healing environment, but prison was not built. The prison, especially the prisons that we exist in today and even those of yesteryear, those prisons have not been built for anything but punitive reformation, right? They say learning and healing environment, but this is just not what it is, right? They strive to say that every aspect of what we need to do to rehabilitate ourselves starts the day that we're incarcerated. We know that that's not true. Now, when we look at the entire prison industry, when you're talking about labor, prison industrial complex, labor, money that's made from privatized corporations that they're monetizing individuals being incarcerated. Those things have nothing to do with your rehabilitation or your reformation. When you're incarcerated, it is so hard for a man to maintain a positive state of existence when the idle mind is a devil workshop. So if you are striving to be productive every day, you are outnumbered by maybe 80 or 90 other people within the environment that you're in who are not thinking positive, who have an idle mind, who literally open up the devil's workshop as soon as they wake up in the morning, right? And so I applaud all the brothers that proceed to stay the course, man, because that is a very, very hard thing to do in an environment that's not built for it. Now, what I will say is this, that I don't expect everybody in prison, right? I don't expect everybody in prison to be a founding member of an FOE or a founding member of a VAPOC or a founding member of Ignite Justice or Community in Action or a Virginia Prison Justice Network. I don't expect that from God, right? But what I do call out to guys on is I expect you to become the best you that you can be. I expect you to rise to the occasion toward striving to break down whatever is holding you in the state that you're in. And so for many of the guys who are incarcerated, they sit like knots on the log and they wait until their release day comes, and then they get out. And then many of them have not done anything to reform themselves. Many of them have not done anything to reform themselves, unfortunately, end up coming back, right? And that's a very sad reality. I don't expect, Brother Malai, I don't expect everybody to get out and become an activist, right? I don't expect everybody to get out and become an advocate because it's very hard to ask somebody to pick up that torch and that mantle if they haven't been doing it while they were incarcerated to begin with, right? It's very difficult to tell a guy that you haven't been, you haven't been swimming at all since you've been incarcerated, and now when you get out, I just expect him to swim the English Channel, you know? Those things are unrealistic. And so what we have to do at all times is hold people accountable to the point in which they're capable, right? And every brother in there is capable of striving to develop some type of reform within himself that's going to make him better than he was when he came to prison, right? That's something that we can all do. That's something that every brother or sister that's incarcerated can do for themselves. You don't have to wait for anybody to do anything for you. The weight broke the wagon. That's what I was taught. And so,
hold on, you wouldn't, right? That's something I want you to, address this too, like, in what you're saying, because you're right on point. But how do we, inspiration is not always something instilled in people. So can you just share like this? What gave you the inspiration and the motivation to have a passion to change yourself to be, Can you share that?
I would tell you this about me, Brother Malai, that I was very involved in the community before I came to prison. I worked for two nonprofit organizations. I worked for Shabazz Academy and United Parents of Disabled. I was a spokesperson for United Parents Against Lead in D.C. For the Stand for Children's Defense Fund. And United Parents Against Lead is still going hard and well today. It's a sister of mine by the name of Queen Zakiya Shabazz, who has that organization. And it's still doing work within the community. For me, I think it's all about what type of drive you have. And if a brother don't have drive, then what's very necessary and very important is that you have to have positive examples, right? You have to have brothers. You have to have brothers all that are always on the up and up in the mix. That's the only thing that balances the equation out. So you need, and not saying that we need them in there more than we need them out here, right? We need them out here more than we need them in there. But you have brothers such as Katie, such as Nadia, such as OJ, that are on the inside, and they are positive examples for the brothers around them. And sometimes, whether or not you think that you can reach your brother, brother's always watching. You know, like in prison, man, you live in a glass bubble. You know that, right? And so everybody see everything you do. So the key is to that, and then, you know, of course, they might not see everything you do, but you basically live in a glass house. And okay. So in prison, if you just maintain a positive state, always doing something positive, always doing something productive, trust me, the guys around you see that. And even if they don't directly connect with what it is that you're doing at that time, picture of somebody in prison doing something positive, what it can do is plant a seed within their mind, man, you know I can do that too. And so the inspiration has to come from ourselves, man. It has to come from ourselves and brothers like us that are around and saying, man, yo, man, bro, yo, why don't you come over here, man, and holler at me for a minute. Let's chop it up, man. What you trying to get out? Where you want to go? What's your aspirations in life? What brought you to prison, and what can you change to keep from ever coming back again? Right? Those are the things, that the type of conversations that I like to sit down and I have with brothers. I have hard conversations with them because I realize that's a part of me doing my job to inspire the next brother who will be there when I'm gone. And that's what it has to be, man. It has to be a passing of the torch for us. And then when those brothers are leaving and coming home, there has to be an acceptance. And I want to say this again, man. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to FOE. I want to say thank you to Community in Action. I want to say thank you to all of the organizations that welcomed me home when I came home. You see, that is what's necessary, right? So that I can pass the torch on to those behind me, and so that when I come out here, I can pick up a torch that proceeds that struggle on the outside. This is right here. What Point of Impact is giving me the opportunity to do right here in next, which is to be able to speak truth to power and to be able to speak to the people in a way that we can educate them about our struggle.
I agree totally with you saying, brother. And I'm grateful for, you know, the support that you, you know, other brothers proceed to consistently offer, you know what I'm saying? And it's work that I believe can be done, presented in a successful manner right here in the Dunya, in the world, you know. Behind that barbed wire city, you know, inside that barbed wire city, I know so many brothers personally who are so positive. And I tell people plenty of times, like, there are great men in prison. Great men. Great men.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, I'm not talking about no aboriginal guys. I'm talking about straight official great men.
Official. I know that, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
And they need to be free because we need them in the community out here.
That's the problem. Out here, the world is so vast out here. There's so much noise in the way. See, in there, the contendence is in a minuted society. But out here, you're dealing with expansion. And when we out here dealing with expansion of noise coming from everywhere, if we're not consistent and concentrated, then the people who observe us, you know, will definitely, you know, fall up as in the sleeping, as in the prison system. You know, consistency.
Right.
If you're doing positive things and you're consistent in doing those positive things, you know, everybody is not going to receive you the same way. You know what I'm saying? When you're in prison,
sure.
Some people, as men, you're going to have to check men. And sometimes, you know what I'm saying, you know, these things happen. But you keep a consistent, positive course in your life. People will respect you. I have people say, you know, like, yo, brothers can't come out of prison and leave gang. And leave the gang.
Right.
That's not true. I witnessed brothers from GD's, Rolling 60s, Crips, you know, love and peace to, you know, a lot of the brothers that I know from them, you know, the organizations, you know, love and peace. Because there's some positive guys I know from the gang. I know some dudes that's really positive from the gang. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Respect to them.
Yeah, indeed.
And that's the thing I'm saying. It's like, they are great men, but there's so much misdirection that we've come through in our communities that it's difficult when, you know, you have things coming from everywhere cluttering your reception. And out here, it's that kind of world out here. And you have to be consistent.
Right,
you know, you have to surround yourself with people that, you know, you would admire. You would admire what people know that you would admire and aspire to, but these are people who also respect you, you know, and admire you, you know.
Right. Very true. I think that is really an understatement, brother. That like you know, that birds of a feather flock together type of thing. I know Oprah Winfrey has a quote that I really like, and she said that. If you are the smartest person in a group of friends that you're in, she said, then you need to find you another group of friends.
Exactly.
And I think that you know, that don't mean that you abandon, right, the friends that you have. What it means is that you expand your boundaries.
That's right.
You reach out because necessarily, by you reaching out, friends that you have, and pull them up.
I think that
for me, it's always been that case, right? I've always been a seeker. I've always been in search of, you know, in search of whoever has the key, right, to my liberation and to my freedom. And then if I can't find anybody, then I'm going to become a locksmith and I'm gonna make a key, right? Because that's just how determined I am to be liberated. Now everybody don't have that determination, but once again, you know, if you're the smartest person in a group of friends, then find you a new group of friends. Reach out to people that are smarter than you. Reach out to people that have more knowledge than you. So then you can fall under their tutelage, and then you can become the next master teacher, and then you can teach. Every man is equipped and armed with something that he does well, that he does that nobody else can do. Every man, right? It's something that you have within you that may lie dormant. You may think that you don't have any talent. You may think that you don't have any skill. You may think that you don't have any ability, right? But what I do know is that there's something within you that you have that allows for you to do something easier that's difficult for everyone else,
right?
And then you have to find that. I think that a purpose-driven person is unstoppable. I think that the greatest days of your life is when you are born and then when you find out the purpose for your birth, right? What your purpose is in life. Those are the two most important days, right? Because that leads you up to everything else. And if you can find your purpose, right? And I believe that every individual is born has ability to promote and execute a righteous purpose. You have to find out what that is for yourself. And then when you do that, you'll find everything else fall into place for you, even while you're incarcerated. Allah is Lord of all the worlds, right? So whether you're incarcerated, whether you're free, whether you're in the prison of your mind while you're free, we're all striving to truly get liberation. And we all do it in different ways. But one of the most liberating things that I've ever seen and that I've ever experienced is helping someone else obtain their liberation. That's the most powerful thing that I've ever seen, right? The freeing of a slave, you know? And many of us become slaves to this environment, to this society, to this dunya, as you called it, to this world. And when we become slaves to that, then we become an instrument of the world. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to mislead people within the world, not in a righteous way, but in an unrighteous one, right? And that's just the reality of the situation, bro. You know, we can't get it no plainer, no more simpler than that. Right? It's on you. It's always on you, man. It's always on you to save yourself, man, and to surround yourself with people that's going to help you save yourself. That's the main thing. You know, choose your friends wisely. Choose your activities wisely.
Absolutely.
Choose your study wisely.
Uh-huh.
And make sure that your good outweigh your bad, man.
That's right.
Make sure that your good outweigh your bad, man.
Alhamdulillah. This is we on our way to a beautiful show today. And you know what I'm saying, like, you just capped that. You really put a top on that and sealed that real nicely. Because, you know, one of the things I was in my belief system is when you read the Quran in chapter 51-56, you read the Allah Most High, one free of imperfection, where he says that we were created. He said, I did not create jinn and mankind except to worship me alone. And when I came to learn that this is why Allah God created me, my purpose is to worship him alone. When that reality became apparent to me in my comprehension of how I should now strive to live my life every day,
I deposited
into my heart, and I allowed that to start to, you know, to dissolve in my heart and fill my heart up. Then I knew that's all I needed to know what my purpose was. That's all I needed to know. This is, you know, God created me to worship him. Now, if you look at that word in a comprehensive meaning, that word is, as one of the renowned sheikhs explained, Tirmidhi, about this word being a comprehensive word, which implies everything that God loves and is pleased with inwardly and outwardly, that which is apparent and that which is hidden, and removing oneself from anything that contradicts that. That comprehension became clear to me in my heart. Trust me, that's when I knew there was nothing more for me but change. There was nothing more for me but continual growth. Never to be stagnation again. You know what I'm saying? And this is, I want to encourage brothers and sisters out there that, you know, and to understand that you already have the purpose. You know, it doesn't have to be anything other than just knowing that you was created to be one of a person who strives righteousness. When you worship God, you strive righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your actions, when your deeds are for Allah God, you're striving in righteousness. And that doesn't mm-hmm. have to mean, we're not talking about, let's not be boxing people. I'm not just talking about going to the masjid or going to religious services. Or no, I'm saying in everything, in your qawla, in your amu, your speech and your actions.
Mm-hmm.
We embed this in our heart. The purpose is right there. We can always have it. This was a beautiful show tonight. And real quick, though, I want brothers.
Yes, sir.
I know a lot of brothers, and you know we know brothers is holding, you know, a means to the free world. This, I'm really praying that this social network can start to show more initiative. We as a people, that when we present ourselves on the social network like TikTok and all of that, that
right.
when we talk about anything, the message of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we got brothers in the penitentiaries, right? Looking at brothers that's
yeah.
in the free world, living their life. And they are social network talking about hurting up another black man.
Right. Yeah.
You know, social
yeah.
network balances. Like, brothers that's in there, man, that. Please do not copycat that behavior.
Right, please. Right. Yeah.
The platform of social media right now in our community truly needs a rewashing.
Right.
As a people, you know, it's crazy when I look and see this behavior going on. But I love you, brother.
Yes, sir.
KD, so much for coming on the show. And giving us, you know, some clarity on some things and sharing with us his wisdom. And, Crystal,
yes,
we love you. Thank you for making time, sister. I know you're busy. You know
yeah,
how to
yeah,
juggle.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. You know how to juggle.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
it's been a wonderful show. You know, and I'm praying that we all continue to strive for, you know, changing our lives for the better. Inshallah. Be it the will of Allah.
Yes.
So, Sean, you okay, brother?
Yeah, is he there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm here. Hey,
oh,
another,
yeah, yeah.
Another positive show. Everybody stay safe.
That's right. Likewise,
bro. That's what it's about.
Real quick, Community United Focus. Event for the kickball on the 20th, but we're not having that event. We canceled it due to lack of registration. But on the 28th August in Norfolk on Tidewater Drive, Northside Park, we're going to be there. And we got an event going on with 40 Strong, Ignite Justice, and Freedom Over Everything. So y'all come on through, check us out, participate, you know. However you feel you want to come, just come. We're going to be there.
Yes, sir.
It's from 12 to 6.
12 to 6.
So, you know, we're going to be rocking. Inshallah, we got a young lady we're going to be honoring, very special young lady. We're going to be honoring.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody come on out. You know, we're going to be talking about the issue. Defenders of Justice, they want to talk about, you know, in reference to a young man, Jermaine Dobbs, you know, and his family. We have a
I think that brother, Jermaine Dobbs, he's at Sussex, I think.
Right. And they want to, you know, he's going to be talking about his issues. And then we got a brother, Naeem Akbar, a Sheikh, coming through to talk about trauma and its impact upon, you know, returning citizens. So listen, everyone.
Naeem Akbar
coming.
My main man.
Yeah, so he's gonna be coming. We're gonna have a nice attendance out there, and everybody should come out. Be safe. Remember, take this time to do something you want, man. Right now, that will benefit you in this life and in the after, and that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community, your locality. Everybody be safe.
Yes,
and, you know, we love you all. Thank you all for supporting us. And link in, tell other people to link in. Everybody be safe. Right? With that, we're going to leave with you.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.